Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, we bring you on an expedition through the depths of the movie industry to discuss the amazing, terrible, and amazingly terrible movies based on video games. Our hosts' entire lives are dedicated to a single goal, probably answering the age-old question, do games make good movies?
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another episode of Video Game Movie Anatomy. To celebrate the release of Rise of the Tomb Raider exclusively on the Xbox One and Xbox 360 platforms, we decided to drag our boots through the crap. That is no.
Well, okay, maybe that's
the way to put it.
We're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Today we're talking Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, the Cradle of Life. I am one of your hosts for this show. I am the Internet Soapbox Mark. You can follow me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark. Make sure to use the hashtag VGM Anatomy to follow us along on Twitter throughout the week and during this conversation. I am joined by the illustrious Video Game Movie Anatomy team, starting with one Miss Stacey Shuttleworth.
Yay!
Yay! Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, no, he's so excited for me.
Yes.
I know. It's wonderful.
We have a full panel again. This is a big deal. I'm excited.
Yes.
Keep up with my adventures at Ye Olde Nerd or Nerds Doing Stuff, where I am a nerd doing stuff.
Yeah, you are.
That's hell of a
succinctly said. You can find me at P to the D's on Twitter and tell me why I again am wrong about hating another movie.
Patrick D's, I don't know if this will work for you as well as it has before.
What's that? I just want to talk about the game. Can we just talk about Rise of the Tomb Raider?
We have a section of the movie where great. It's similar, where it's game similarities. And
I just
but
wanted
first,
to talk about that game. It's so good.
So this is Video Game Movie Anatomy. We dissect the film adaptations of some of our favorite interactive media. And to start us off, we have our speed run. That is our quick review of the film. Somebody seemed really eager this time. They brought the entire novel of their speed run.
I brought the whole script.
You
I'm going to read. So Fade in on Lara.
Let's start.
Yep.
Mr. Patrick Deese, what is your speed run of this film?
So it's less of a speed run this time. So last week, I was very excited because mine was literally the briefest speed run in the history of speed runs.
That's why it's a speed run!
I understand. I got grief. I finished last week and you guys are like, man, you're done? You're like, are you... That's it?
And which
was a sentence.
Film.
I was like, I know, because usually it's like I live under the mantra, like, why use 5 words when 50 will do? And so that's what I'm running with on this one. So a little bit longer, but stay with me. So, all right, my speed run is as follows. Lara Croft, the Tomb Raider, the Cradle of Life, has a better plot, characters, and better acting than the first movie. But let's be honest about it. No one is here to see the movie for the plot, characters, or acting. The audience for this movie literally just wants to see Lara shoot, punch, and kick bad guys. And that movie has plenty of that. All of that is certainly there. And the distractions of plot, character, and acting barely get in the way. Tomb Raider, Lara Croft. Lara Croft. Nope.
It's too long of a title. I don't blame you.
It's too many. Colon anything's ridiculous.
That's less of a speedrunner, more of like a whole box blurb.
Yeah.
But I'll take it.
Yeah, okay.
I'll totally take it.
So
Stacey.
I'm going to say like a walk run. Like it wasn't a speedrun. What's like...
A brisk run?
Yeah, it was a jaunt. I was like, yeah.
A jaunt.
Uh-huh.
Is it speed jaunt?
Not
so speedy, though.
Well, have you seen the speed walking in the Olympics? It's like, how can we go really fast but not run? It's like the dumbest sport.
Olympic sport.
Yeah.
Son of a biscuit. Yep. Stacey.
All right. So at least there's sufficient eye candy to almost justify the 2 hours of stagnant character, bad story, and dull action that is Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, Cradle of Life.
Whoa, shit.
That was good.
Fired.
That was good. All right.
You can learn a thing or two from these days.
I could.
I feel like.
I'm a half full type of guy.
How are you?
And it was I don't know what my glass, didn't matter what my glass was full of, but I wanted to get it at least half full. So mine was,
I can think of some things I might have to get through this movie. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, Mark. Enjoy that movie.
Especially when you're watching this one.
Amen.
I needed all of the drinks. I decided to go tea instead of booze.
Did you?
Yes, because that way I won't just finish all of the bottles in my possession.
I feel
and
like
I can it can keep me calm.
This would have been a great, top five drunk movie.
Jeez. Really,
this is all right. Yeah, for sure,
dude. When we do watch-alongs, it's going to be hard not to bring booze along. But so my speed
just
run,
call the booze along,
the booze along. I'm in. Steven watching because that's what we're going to do.
I'm on board.
Okay, so. Lara Croft, thank you. Lara Croft Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life, shows why Angelina Jolie should be an action star, but also shows why video games should not be made into movies.
Yeah, I think that's super fair.
And I have a reason, because I looked up, I was trying to find some extra stuff to show, like some videos or anything, but it was bad. Some of in the first minute of a behind the scenes thing that I found for this movie, it was Angelina, this was a scene that Angelina wanted to do. She wanted to do something underwater. She wanted to ride on horseback. She wanted to do, so a lot of this movie's like seemingly random action scenes are just because Angelina Jolie wanted to do that.
Set pieces that she thought would be cool.
Yeah.
They fit them into the script and being over that. They even wrote dialogue around the, like, why would I do anything the easy way? I don't know, because her rider depended on it. Like, the only, that's why she's in the movie.
That's why she's an executive producer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's some of that. From the speed. No, we're going to talk about this at length.
Can I ask you this before we get into
ask me
it?
A question.
I'm interested in your guys' thoughts here. Like, did you think. We've all seen the first one. Like, it's a pretty low bar to clear. I kind of like
covered it on the show.
We did. We, with that expectancy set going in, like, how was this? Was it better or worse than you? Like, what? Like, again, because going in, the bar was so low.
That's true.
I think for this one, because the bar was so low, we've already had one where it's like, just whatever, just a movie, whatever. I'm here to watch a movie. There was no expectation, so it lets you kind of accept the silly stuff and the nonsensical stuff. There are a couple of times where I wanted to throw my controller. Oh. That will be a segue in a moment.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But for the most part, it was just like, it was more like, come on, as opposed to, you gotta be kidding me. Like, so
it didn't even elicit, like come on.
No, it's just like... It's just what it...
You're
just,
so resigned at this point to it being bad. You
dialogue.
You don't have high hopes.
They could have... Honestly, most of the scenes, the actors could have just said dialogue. Dialogue, dialogue, Cradle of Life.
Dialogue.
Alexander the Great.
It would have had the same point. It would have.
So, but I'll say this, and then we can kind of get into controller toss moments.
Let's
do it. I really thought... This movie was better in almost every way than the first one.
I could agree with
I think
that.
There was incremental progress. I mean, again, it's not saying it's good by any stretch of the imagination. Like, I'm a realist here, but I will say, like, literally the chemistry was better between the leads. Like, the very little dialogue was a little bit better. The set pieces were... Like, do you remember the first one, the scene that should have been my controller moment, like, 14 times, was the ridiculous scene when she's in that jump-up thing and twirls. She's arguably, like, a stationary... She's a stationary target. And, like, at the very least, the set pieces in this one felt like, all right, so it's slightly hyperbolized and way over the top, but there was, I don't know, just like, again, every conceivable way, this movie was better.
They were real locations. It wasn't like this temple that we've never seen.
For sure.
It was Kenya.
Yeah, totally.
It was China.
Yep.
So, like, you got to see actual locations and then fade into the fantastical as opposed to, let's start with this weird multi-armed god with swords. No, that's for a movie like that, you got to fade into it.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
So, controller toss moments, I'm going to start with you, Stacey. This is a moment when you're watching the film and you suddenly have a, you've got to be kidding me, and you throw your controller across the room. Stacey.
This happened about every 5 minutes.
I can't wait.
I mean, also the first one was when the earthquake occurs and just all of a sudden rocks are flying everywhere and the logo rises up, the title rises up from these rocks,
the
and I was just like, are you kidding me?
Interesting choice. No, that's a good one. Table well. Like,
it
this
really
is what I'm
did.
Settling
it
in
did.
For,
no.
all right?
I mean, it just kept going from there, but
sure.
that definitely started it off.
I can imagine just a movie theater on, like, opening weekend and, like, the 20 people that are in there are looking up and they see that and you just hear one guy go, well... I just hear a lot of heavy breaths and parents looking at their children what did you bring me to?
Yeah, resigned parents, just like sad dad in the aisle going, what
this was a video game?
What have I done with my life? I've got these two kids I really didn't want. I'm watching this terrible movie. Sorry.
You're going super deep.
Dark.
This movie does that to me. So I think my controller toss moment would be arguably somebody's favorite moment. So I think it's the best/worst moment in the entire film. And I know you guys know what I'm building toward. It's punching the shark in the face.
But can we get that picture? because I got a picture.
It's punching the shark in the face. Oh. So just to set this table, she's underwater, and they foreshadow this a little bit. God, that's a genius picture.
It's the
moment.
Yes. Oh, my God. That is perfect. Again, best/worst moment of this film. So they foreshadow that a little bit. As they're going underwater, they're diving on the little bot. It's like, and they see the shark. My favorite is the audio cue that the shark growls at them from like 40 yards. And I'm like, wait a minute. I look around like I'm on The Office. Like, I don't. Like, really, is this a thing? Sharks are growling now. So they definitely foreshadow that. And then she slits her wrist as the temple's crumbling.
She got shot in the leg.
Okay.
And then she cut herself in the arm.
So I agree.
No,
so
you're just.
She's long ways. I wish she'd slit her wrist and just died in my head.
Yeah. I was going to say you were projecting.
Yeah.
I thought you were projecting.
Dad in the audience in the aisle of the theater, sad dad. So she cuts her wrist and holds the cut, sort of like goes below the water and comes and lets it go strategically in order to attract the shark, punch it in the goddamn face,
and then ride
right it to the surface, which admittedly was pretty cool. So that was the point where like.
Suspended all reality.
All right, I see what you did there, Laura. Like, again, best/worst moment.
Resourceful.
In most movies.
Right. Sure.
Resourceful. Totally.
And so like. So for me, that was both my throwing the controller against the wall and then piecing it back together and wanting to play the game some more. Because, like, holy shit, we are doing something here.
This movie was like playing a Wii game. Because you got to strap the little wrist strap in. And it keeps you keep throwing it, but it keeps coming back into your hand. And hopefully it doesn't put a hole in your damn television. That was my controller toss.
Oh, I'm sure it's, I didn't mean to take yours.
The first appearance of the shark was just like, so this is the CGI budget.
That's happening.
Blown on ones.
And that's another thing is they didn't waste too much money on the CG until we get to the Guardians of the Valley of Fear or whatever.
Sure.
Whatever.
The last 10 minutes. Yeah.
Where we decided that we were going full mythology, for no reason.
And that's not even get started about the mythology until we get into the breakdown. Because too much bullshit. But these things, it was in the script, it was like, it's the Valley of Fear. So it's like, oh, you're going to face your biggest fear. Nope, just monsters.
Yeah.
Just monsters.
They are my biggest fear, though. I mean, to be fair, that's terrifying. They weren't my biggest fear until I saw them, and then they jumped every other fear. It was like spiders, taxes, the DMV, and then those jerks.
I was very much an R-rated episode here.
Terrifying. Those nightmares.
The Valley of Nightmares?
Yes.
Is that what we got? The thing about nightmares. Yeah, it's disgusting and horribly animated. Bless those people. I hope they still have jobs. That's not anything on you. That's the budget.
I kind of disagree. Like, they were way more interesting than the bad guys. Like, holy Jesus.
For the 2 minutes they were on screen?
Sweet Jesus, I would way rather them be running from those things than the terrible gunfights that Jerry Butler had to put up with over and over and over. If the third act was another gunfight where I didn't care, I probably would. But this actually, for me, was like, all right, I'm back on board. All right, you know?
Yeah, it's picked up a little bit for me, too. Yeah. Oh, I would have liked to see it kind of threaded through the whole movie.
Yeah,
instead of just in the last couple minutes.
That's fair.
Were those in the markings in the temple in the beginning? Because if they were, that's too much of a lead.
I don't think so. I didn't pick up on it.
Okay.
And I mean, even if they were, that would have been one mention in the first 5 minutes, and then the last 10 minutes.
Never again. Speaking of one mention, never again. Her butler and her tech crony. From the first movie. Yeah. They were only in the movie for probably a total of 10 minutes.
They're so great, though.
Mm-hmm. They were great, but jeez.
They've got two scenes, right? The beginning where they let the MI6 guys in, mm-hmm. and she says, what, like, tease for visitors?
Tease for guests.
These came through the front door. Could go to hell and die in a fire. And then at the very end when he gets the hair braided and the same came back. I liked it.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. served their purpose, but I wish they had a bigger purpose. So in this movie, in Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life, adventurous Lara Croft goes on a quest to save the mythical Pandora's box before an evil scientist and recruits a former Marine turned mercenary to assist her. And of course, our star of this movie is the beautiful Angelina Jolie, who fit at the time fit this character to a T. The character has since overgone I agree.
She's Lara Croft.
Yeah, she totally worked this mm-hmm. version of the character.
Agreed.
Yes.
And I underscore this version.
And
we'll get there.
Bold italics.
Uh-huh.
And I'm actually beyond surprised that her highest grossing movie, or her highest grossing movies, did less than Gerard Butler. But her top three films amongst her career: Maleficent, which was good.
Yep.
I don't know if anybody saw it. Was it good? Was it great? No. It was good. Kung Fu Panda, very good. The Kung Fu Panda series, pretty great. The third one coming out later this year, or early next year. And then Mr. and Mrs. Smith, that almost did $200 million.
That's a really fun movie.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Have you not seen this?
I thought it was fun, too.
Yeah, no, super okay. fun.
No, under
a little, violent, pretty dark. Actually, I would assert it's my favorite a movie of hers.
Oh, really?
Super good. Okay. Yeah, and there's
so this doesn't even compare.
No, not even close. And like,
are you surprised?
Of course, they want to get married, all this jazz, but this was pre Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, like, but there was a very real chemistry there, so it worked on top of all the rad set pieces and whatnot. They're two people that you believe were actual ass kickers to the degree that they are. So anyway, worth a watch.
And Mr. Gerard Butler playing Terry Sheridan.
Yes.
The How to Train Your Dragon series to date has garnered almost $400 million worldwide.
Sounds about right.
Followed up by the $210 million. And then a big, like, there was a James Bond movie that he was like a background actor in that was technically number three. But he wasn't even credited in it.
Okay.
He was just
okay,
kind of like goon number three.
Sure.
So Olympus Has Fallen is $98 million, which I didn't think did that great.
It was about the White House?
Yeah, he was a dude who was in prison and shit was happening at the White House and he was like, I didn't do it. That's essentially Olympus Has Fallen.
I totally did see that. That's how forgettable it was. Like, right when you did this thing, I didn't do it. I'm like, no, I got it. I followed.
I think that was in the trailer. Where he was like, nah,
I couldn't have done it. I was here. I was surprised that one of his rom-coms with Jennifer Aniston somehow didn't make the list. Or
yeah.
He did a series of movies that weren't interesting after 300. He was Sparta, and then he wasn't.
He had his hands in his pockets for most of the movie posters that he was in for like 3 years.
Yes.
It's very casual. To round out the cast, a young, just of note, a young Jaimin Hansu playing Kosa, her African guide.
Yeah.
Was just like, holy crap, awesome, go Jaimin Hansu.
That was great.
And Ciaran Hines playing Jonathan Rice, the evil scientist who creates all of the diseases in the world.
Bond villain extraordinaire.
Right.
So, might as well.
A little bit over the top.
Was he any sort of a threat? Did you find him threatening at all? Even in the scene where he gave that dude a bowl and was like, nope, here's the cure.
Not physically, not like intellectually. He wasn't like this super, like the intellect wasn't terrifying. Like, he was the biggest casting miss for me by a country mile. Like, that guy made no sense.
Yeah.
Did you disagree?
Well, I think he's a good actor.
Sure.
And I don't think the role did any favors to him. And I do not think it was the role for him. No.
It was
but
not
then
doing
again,
it.
I don't think it was really a role written for anybody.
It was really
dialogue.
Dialogue.
Bad guy.
There was no substance to
it. It was this. And I'm going to do it again. Start your counts at home. This movie, they needed a bad guy, and I guess this guy does. I mean, in a. For a modern villain, a guy who creates diseases and a guy who can manufacture diseases, that's a good beginning story. But we didn't know anything about him other than he did that.
No, he won a Nobel Prize and then went on to do this insanity.
That's all we got about
this is a really cool opportunity. This guy should have been like Joker level insane, right? Like, I mean, somebody who just like is completely unpredictable, somebody relatively interesting, but like, Pandora's box was the threat. And that was also completely, you know, you like have a vague, vague understanding of that. So we're going to run with that so she can shoot some more shit.
The plot was so.
I know.
So
love that I'm more high on this movie than both of you.
Yeah,
guys.
You're
awesome.
Doing a better job defending
Once you start going Greek, you get my attention. I'm a big fan of Greek mythology.
Sure.
And they went, actually, like, the scene where the MI6 people show up and they're like, Pandora's box, is that a legend? And she goes, no. You know, just dialogue, real thing. Egypt,
so real.
It's actually Egypt, and men was created in the year like 7000 BC, and just like not even if you're trying to make a legend, you and Star Wars is and Star Wars is very much subject to this. You can't just tell people that something happened. If you if you see her like finally like oh my god this the Pandora's box wasn't even this it was then we all learn it in a fun way,
right?
But
right.
as opposed to just like I know everything, it's kind of boring.
And MI6, I love that it just like they hear all of this nonsense, which would blow anybody's mind, and I'd have a series of like follow up questions. They're like, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go call the Queen. Her Majesty says go stop that shit.
Yeah.
Like,
take
just
care
could you
of
just
it,
could you go but... handle that? Because all that craziness you just said.
We're just gonna accept.
She's
that
earned it.
And
she's
go.
Earned it. She's Lara freaking Croft.
Yeah. Yeah. But the fact that
has she? This movie number
this
four.
This
again, the movie. Bar was so low for the first one. And here's the other thing too. I know we'll get to the game at some point. The new game is so fantastic that I was like so much an apologist. I'm like, this needed to happen so that they could have like a really well-developed Lara in the future.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's just get
okay.
this out of the way.
Well, that's another thing. With this Lara, we just started with she's a rich girl with a mansion who's looking for her father.
Sure.
That and that worked, but you need a little bit more this day and age.
I agree.
So having the new version of Lara Croft start at the beginning, even if it's a direct adaptation of the new game, would give us something a little bit different, but we would still get the globetrotting. With something like this, here's a question for everybody.
Fire
away. I'm repeating my words a lot. What scene, what action scene, or, yeah, no, what action scene would you throw completely out of the movie?
The horseback riding scene. It's nonsense. They have her sitting like lady style, and it's literally just like it makes complete sense. Her coat's badass, like from a wardrobe perspective.
The outfits were phenomenal. And the braid on her ponytail was top notch. That was about it.
Unabashedly, like staunch record of heterosexuality. I'm really into the costuming. Yeah, she was great, but like, the scene was just nonsense.
There was no reason. Alexis from the booth kind of agree. The flying squirrel suits off of that building
that
in China.
Absurd.
It was crazy, but back then that sort of thing was
brand new.
Huge.
No, and also brand new, right?
Yeah.
Like that just hadn't been done in movies. So that place and time, I will say,
before I think Mission Impossible did it, and I think I might be completely wrong about that. I am not Action Movie Anatomy. That has Ben Bateman and Andrew Guy.
No, you are
damn
not.
It.
I will say though that setup, like again, that I'm looking for anything. Any possible lines that are redeemable at all, but this was the you go first, no you go first, gunshots, I'm going first. Like, again, that was the one maybe chuckle I got.
So what about their relationship? Or Stacey, what action scene do you think doesn't fit? Or you just don't like?
I didn't like any of the action scenes.
None
oh,
no. of them!
I, you know, really not. I know, I'm sorry.
Take me to church!
She's just like
there was
they roll
so
credits and then they find the box and it's like a 3.5 minute movie.
I love this
Lara
movie.
It's
perfect.
The best.
Well, I've never seen action scenes that were so dull. Just
she kind of
whole.
One. There wasn't one that you were like, "Hey, this is all right."
Like the Terracotta Warriors.
That was kind of cool. I liked more or less how that one was staged. Mm. That
Except
one was exciting.
They had to find a way to mess
bit.
That up too, like have her climb
right.
on top. And then arguably the dumbest scene was when she went into that the soldier pose with the gun, some sort of martial art, which used the gun thing. It was just an excuse. Like,
yeah.
No.
That
was so labored.
That I think a lot of... So the horseback riding scene included, as well as the proper marching with the gun is a way to reestablish her or to remind the audience that she's a proper lady
and worldly
of course and the staff fighting in the middle of the library there's so much was just like
Butler got in a lick or two. I was like rooting for him. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Hillary.
Oh, Hillary.
Yes.
Sorry, not like Butler Man.
No, not Butler Man.
I was just going by the dialogue. Butler Man, get over here, Butler. Dialogue.
Throw stick, and
throw
for
stick.
Some reason it sticks.
Nailed
in
it. Because she's awesome. She trained for that.
You've got to throw that really hard.
And do you know how many times she threw it at that book specifically? She's like, finally there's a scenario where I need to throw this. And like, she'd been throwing it at that every day. Like, what's your obsession with that book,
practicing.
Lara? Yeah.
She knew.
I know, right?
One of these days we're going to do Greek, I swear.
Yep.
And I'm going to be on
sick?
It. So what about let me get his character name, Terry, and Lara's on-screen relationship throughout the film. No. Instant
what?
No.
No.
What? Are we watching the same movie?
What? It was like, hey, here's two characters. They have a history. They should have a relationship. Here, have it. But there was nothing behind it. It was just like, oh, they're going to have random relationship talks at completely inappropriate moments. Mm-hmm. What am I to you?
He certainly was a little, like, needy boyfriend.
Like, bro, like, you need to chill.
Yeah, I know, just breathe Jeez. A little bit. But, yeah, like, bro, pump the brakes. Like, it was a several times.
There were so many points of dialogue in this film that were, it was just lines. It was just dialogue. It was, this is something a guy and a girl will talk about together, right?
Yeah, totally.
Then they happen to have a moment alone. We got to fill it with some words. Here are the words that usually go there.
What if she was wearing a towel?
Absolutely.
They focus tested
action
that.
Action scene.
The group likes towels. Okay, thumbs up.
Good. What if we put Jerry in shirtless. Without a shirt?
Yep, okay.
Yeah.
There. Focus tested. Double.
Yep.
Everybody's good.
Everyone's happy.
So, like, I actually, I don't know if it's because I like Gerard Butler a lot.
He's charming.
And I leaned into his accent a lot. I think the guy could have chemistry with a phone book, but it worked for me. The dialogue was bad, but there was tension there. Like, and I felt like the history was authentic. Like, even if though it wasn't well fleshed out and they had their 5-month relationship or like whatever that was,
right.
To me, he was the best part of the best part of the movie.
I can agree with that. I like that they let him keep his Scottish accent.
Yep, I agree.
I want to see nothing more than a movie poster with Gerard with his hands in his pockets, and it's just a phone book with like a wig,
and he's looking like longingly
with the wig
at
that
it.
Has to have the wig.
He has to have a wig.
Okay.
I didn't say what kind of a wig, but just a wig.
Yeah. All right. Shit.
I mean.
Yep. I know. Yeah. I'd watch that movie.
It would gross more than
probably Olympus Has Fallen.
Probably. 98 million?
Yeah.
See, just out of curiosity alone.
Yeah, for sure.
And have a great life on VOD.
Who directs it?
Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to want to.
Darren Aronofsky. I would watch that movie. All day. All day.
I'm just
several times.
Dying inside? Okay. So
what's that feeling? Death inside.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. It's like somebody opened a Pandora's box in my soul, and I'm melting from the inside out. The gunplay. That wasn't a joke. Please help me. So the...
get me off the set right now, please.
I started the show. I'll end it. The,
if you're watching this.
The gunfights. So you said... that's a perfect. Anything that wasn't blinky? Did anybody notice anybody firing and not just like totally like
like
guns.
They were scared of the blank?
It's like once it goes out, like, oh, it's something fired. Like I didn't see anybody who was confident with a gun.
Jerry was in the helicopter scene where they land the helicopter in the square and he's sniping down. It looks like he's the one guy that I felt a little like competent, but like some of the, I don't remember the name of the gang that was in the mountains, but some of those goons that clearly never fired even like a prop gun in their entire life. Yeah. Just, what are we doing? Yeah, I am with
How
you.
How did that happen?
No, for sure.
I can't.
I know. I know.
Play the game.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Play any of the Tomb Raiders, but mostly play Rise of the Tomb Raider, which is out now in stores. That's it. No. So for a moment, let's go back and see if anything could have been done with the director. Jean de Bont.
Yep.
I'm going to try to say that correctly. Jean de Bont. For our American viewers out there.
That sounds right.
So, he has quite a storied career. This man made his directorial debut with Speed
Correct.
In 1994.
And what a debut.
Awesome.
And what
movie.
A debut.
Mm-hmm. That was the rated R. That was like the first rated R movie that I saw like as a kid. And I was just like, oh, they're saying bad words. And oh, it's, oh my God. He then did Twister in 96. Another one was just like, at least a hit. Was a hit.
Probably fiscally did better too, right? Like, I think Twister did really well.
I mean, when you got Helen Hunt.
I know. I'm
and,
still I
Anthony Rapp in there.
I know. Can we just cast Helen Hunt?
Can.
Tomb Raider? I watched it like aging Tomb Raider. Like, she's retiring. She's ready to hang it up. She's got one last. Her and Dame Helen Mirren. Just, I would watch that.
So it's.
I absolutely would.
What are we doing?
We would.
Sorry.
What are we doing? What is it? What's in your cup? Can I have some too?
Uh-huh.
So from Speed and Twister. He went back to Speed. He went back to Speed for Speed 2 Cruise Control. Just critical commercial failure.
I remember it.
And then in 1999, he did the Haunting remake. which it was it did well commercially because horror movies usually do. But it was nominated for 5 Razzie Awards.
I'm sorry, did you say 5?
5 Razzie Awards and it's considered
time. 5?
5.
Okay, thank you. Just clarifying.
1, 2, 3, 4, okay. 5, 5,
5,
5.
Yep. Sorry, just making sure. That's a lot of Razzies.
And it's widely considered to be one of the worst remakes ever made. So, and then we got him. So he was doing pretty good. He was flying high in my. He couldn't do much worse. And to be honest, depending on who wrote it, from a direction standpoint, I think like the shots were set up wonderfully, and the action scenes were at least like kind of dynamic, but the bones weren't good to support this muscle, and it just kind of just fell.
Just.
It was just bad.
The idea of you instantly right, having no bones and just being a pile of flesh hosting a show, be like, well, welcome to Popcorn Talk. I can get behind that. what are you going to say?
When we're dealing with a movie this good, it's hard to come back from it. We do have some of the. This is the opening weekend.
Tough week.
Poor movie.
Tough
week. Opening weekend. It went up against Spy Kids 3D Game Over, which got number one with 33 million. Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. The surprise hit couldn't even take down Spy Kids. Wow. That is a monster.
I mean, maybe Spy Kids.
Bad Boys 2. And even just look at the rest of this top 10. So, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, Cradle of Life came in number 4. Seabiscuit at number 5. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which was considered a terrible movie. Even that is still number 6. Terminator 3 at number 7. Finding Nemo, Johnny English, and Legally Blonde 2 to round out the top 10. That's a strong top 10. So, first, to be honest, cool. But with a budget of $95 million to only make $21 in your first weekend, not a good sign.
Yeah, that's rough. I don't know how much of that went to Angelina, because the rest of it was not spent on CG or like the action we've established here is subpar. I understand losing to Bad Boys, too.
I can – no, it's Bad Boys and Pirates. And I can Pirates. Understand. Spy Kids was huge.
Yeah.
Not of our age group. We grew out of it, maybe. Didn't see it first weekend, I promise.
No.
3 times you didn't see it? 3 times?
No.
4 times. 5 4, times, one for every 3, Razzie.
3 for 3D. Oh,
yeah.
3 for 3D. But it was 5.
5.
5. I want a high five.
Let's do it. All right. Sorry for everybody listening. This movie.
It rattles you. This movie's really gotten under your skin in a big way. I've done a lot of these with you, and I don't know that I've had a movie throw you so much.
It's been a long day.
You find a silver lining, my friend, and I'm excited that this one is...
Gerard Butler's pecs.
Silver lining.
Pretty awesome.
Staunch record of heterosexuality. I'm attracted to that man.
Dude.
Yep.
I agree.
Yes. Heterosexuality.
Yeah. I want to be the phone book. Is what I'm saying.
See now I'm gonna. The wig is gonna
he
be your hair.
Yes. It makes it fine.
Just want to make a phone book mask.
I agree. We need to make this movie.
Just don't rip them in half.
I'd pay good money to see this animated. Can we get the listener to like animate this for us?
That would.
Yep.
Don't rip him in half.
No. Nope.
Ooh. Just realized what that meant. Just I shouldn't have said it.
Yep.
So anything huge plot wise that you guys want to talk about?
No, because there's nothing worth talking
huge
about.
Huge plot wise. Well, let's talk about the final scene. Let's talk about the confrontation. Get yourself your own one. So the climax of this film takes us to Africa, where the Cradle of Life is resting on the top of a mountain. She's guided there by a friend of hers. She has friends all over the world.
All over. She just parachutes in their truck. Just cruising along.
Parachutes
just
like, all over the place.
I know. Yeah.
She just keeps shedding parachutes.
She's pretty good at it.
I would if
I could.
I couldn't imagine her parachute.
I tried to parachute here today. And then
that was that thumping.
Yeah.
And the subsequent ambulance visit.
Have you been,
we saw a parachute.
Have you been skydiving?
No.
Either of you? Not so much. Not your jam.
Squirrel suiting.
I ate a lot of shit when I landed. And it was
oh my
not
God.
A. Did you really squirrel shit?
No, I did not.
I was like instantly jealous.
Squirrel shit my pants.
Yeah. I have nothing to add to that, literally. That just.
Nailed it.
Name of the episode.
I just. So they take him up to this mountain, the Valley of Fear, the Valley of Nightmares, whatever. Mm-hmm. And
scary shit.
For some reason, I thought it would be it would kind of redeem itself by not going into super faceless tree monster territory and being like, no, you see your greatest fear. But we don't know any of these characters enough to know what their greatest fear is.
We had no prior hints that would kind of give us, oh, well, this is might be what they're going to encounter.
And Bingo was her name. Oh, yeah, no, totally.
Oh, you changed your name? Cool. It's Bingo now.
Yeah.
Bingo. So Bingo.
She got married.
It's a Bingo.
I'm going to call Robbie Bingo now. That's
Please
what
do.
I'm going to
do.
She
just got hitched. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Also, big congrats to you, sir. I know this is not time or the place, but you just got engaged.
I did.
Congratulations to Mr. Mark Gonica.
So let's go back to talk about this shitty. I heard that. That was Blue's Clues. Thank you, Alexa.
It's a moment of happy.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I needed bright spots.
Yeah, but you got to bring me back up to just shove me back in the dirt.
That's what I did.
So everybody but our three main characters, for some reason, even though there was a gun fired and they're attracted to noise, and let's just forget about that part, they got rid of all of the extra people.
Get them out of here.
And just gone. And except for Jaimin lived.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
Jaimin lived. He got away. But they go down into the cradle of life of the mountain, and there's this black ooze with a glowing gold box that seemingly I presume it's Pandora's box. And some of the lamest fight and gunplay and CG, and they could have thrown a skeleton into a pool of just like dyed black water and have it like have a dude under it like just kind of bob it up and it would have looked better and cooler than hold on
and what they did.
What's his name? Right, Jonathan Rice, our bad guy, melting and finally getting like one finger on it and then melting away.
It's pretty bad.
Bullshit!
I'm not sticking up for the scene.
Awful.
Know, you looked at me like you wanted something. Tell me why it's redeemable. It's totally
not. You're Mr. Silver Lining
it's
today.
It's just not.
I'm full of vitriol and vinegar.
I liked... Okay, double
V's.
Double V's?
Double V's!
Yikes.
We're not talking double U's.
When I look right at the... If I'm looking for the silver lining, it would be the final face-off between Jerry and Angelina.
As That's a positive!
I mean, whatever. Like, the way it resolved was pretty stupid when he's going to straight up shoot her ass. But, like, I like the fact that they brought, like, because I didn't expect that. Like, literally, I would have expected this movie to be like, and they ride off into the sunset together knowing they did the right thing. And she straight up killed a man. And I kind of like that. And I think Lara, ideally, would be somebody who has cracks in her moral compass that, like, is flawed and is a three-dimensional character as opposed to this 2D idiot who's there for pure sex appeal. That's why I keep harking on this game, Camilla Luddington. Her performance is nuanced and Lara's interesting. And she's got, like, she's a badass without being just a, you know, just objectified the entire time. Anyway, my point would be that scene points to Lara having more to her, and my hope would be that was like, hey, look, we're going to try and make a franchise out of this, as opposed to a couple quick cash grabs, but...
Yeah.
Nope.
What did you think about the final scene?
I mean, I do think that was the first time that they really gave her a little more depth and kind of gave her the chance to have a little more depth, so I enjoyed that. It was so ridiculous.
The chance. I like that. Because such of the dialogue was banal and basic and just like, this is the plot and we're on screen together, so you should like me. Do you have a crush on me? Let's get married. It wasn't.
No bones
like
off.
That was no bone dialogue. That was no bone dialogue. I need to write that down. Yeah. No bone dialogue. But it just... It would have meant more if we felt something for these characters as a couple.
I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I was surprised. It was like gunshot, fall back, and I thought if you're gonna shoot him right next to Pandora's ooze and he doesn't fall in, I think that could have been a fun little like Terminator like.
She just slowly pushes him in, like
just like
he's like, I'm still alive. I can come back from this.
He's laying on the floor. She's like towing him in,
just dragging his ass, and there are no witnesses.
Pushing a little bit.
You just hear like a quiet. Push him in. Out. Get out.
Just let it happen.
That's terrible. That is terrible. So let's talk about this movie compared to. Well, we'll start. Compared to the original games, this is pretty dead on.
Yeah.
You got a lot of different locations around the world.
100%.
Hot woman with two guns.
Correct.
And man meat piece of the week.
Yep.
Cool. How would this compare to the new series?
Well, the new series has story and character development. Wow. So, I mean,
so this movie is better. You say
yes.
Yes, that's absolutely what I'm saying.
Patrick, this is your section. This is the part that you want to talk about.
You know, like, whatever. I could go on for a long time about it. But, like, here's the thing. So the reboot was 2 years ago, and then Rise of the Tomb Raider just came out. And, like, Rihanna Pratchett, if you're familiar with Terry Pratchett, the sci-fi fantasy author, like, she lost her dad and kind of lived in the shadow of her father, like, her whole life. And she's an author of her own right and wrote this Tomb Raider reboot. And it's so, I mean, all of it drips with, like, authenticity. Here's a woman who's, like, well fleshed out. She's capable. She relies on other people. She's just a human being and not constantly, like, objectified. She's fit and she looks capable, but, like, a well-rounded human being with, like, a tremendous backstory and, like, real motivations. And I will say Camille Luddington's performance in them is fan-freaking-tastic. She's unbelievable. I know we're going to get to casting at some point, but, like, she would be in, like, and this woman is also in Grey's Anatomy, so she's, like, you know, an actor of as well. And so, the new games are not only – the gameplay is not only just best in class. I mean, it's up for a Game of the Year award – a game award this year for best 3D action – or best action-adventure game. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's on par for it. Like, I think right now it's in my running for Game of the Year where – like, I would have never, if you told me 3 years ago there would be a Tomb Raider game that would be considered for my Game of the Year, I would have called you crazy. But, like, it's interesting from a narrative perspective. It out Nathan Drake. It out Uncharted. And, like, so, like, your move Uncharted to figure out what you're going to do, but, like, it is
Uncharted 4 next year.
Yeah. I mean, but, like, here's the thing. I'm really interested to see what Uncharted 4 does, because what this game does, Uncharted, like, is pretty traditionally, you guys are familiar with the series.
Yeah.
Like, it's very narratively driven, like, unparalleled writing. But they do this thing where it's a very scripted, linear kind of experience. You have a little bit of latitude, or, like, you're climbing, and there's all a similar set pieces. In this new one especially, this game opens up, and you're in these hub worlds. So you get this sweet set piece moment where you're dodging rocks, and it's on rails, and it's awesome. But then it opens up, and you're in this world where you can kind of choose what to do with that, with all these RPG elements. And then you choose your weapon of choice. Like, you make your bow better, you make your gun better. Nathan Drake is just picking up any gun he can find, shooting somebody in the face with it till the next gun, where it's cool to see Lara Camille Luddington take ownership of her weapon of choice, or the one that you enjoy playing with the most because you've chosen this upgrade path. Like, it's fantastic. I wish more games where this goes.
I agree. There are two different types of games, though. One's a straight-up shooter, where one is that action-adventure with RPG elements sort of a thing.
Yeah.
It's like thin lines separating the two. I'm a fan of both. I like Uncharted because it reminds me of Indiana Jones. I like Tomb Raider because it reminds me of what I wanted Tomb Raider to be. What about you? I haven't played The Rise yet.
Have you played the reboot?
I played the reboot, but okay. I haven't played the original.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay.
But would you – so let's – we'll get to recasting and verdict and all that sort of stuff. This movie, great when it comes to comparing itself to the original Tomb Raider games, but doesn't hold a candle to the new ones, and we'll get to how we feel about the new ones in a moment. For our favorite lines, though, did you put any down? Did anybody
– I have a couple.
Okay, then
but
you,
I, no, I'd like
then
to
you wait. Stacey, okay, yeah. Please. Because I had a couple. Is everybody still looking? Should I just say mine?
Yeah, please. Yeah. Please. Yeah.
So there was one at the end that I liked for really dumb reasons. When our esteemed boy, Noah Taylor, Bryce, the tech guy, Laura's tech guy. Does anybody know how to fly a helicopter? I got over 150 hours between flight simulators and models. See that? No, that's not the same thing. You don't understand. Well, how about for a real thing? 2 hours. Well, I hope you remember those 2 hours. Like, it was really silly, but the fact that it was, we led up to that line with him playing little flight simulators for the 1 minute he was on screen, then having a little helicopter. That's all he was there for, was to fly the helicopter at the end.
Yes. But at least it was built up to for one thing in the
that
movie.
That had the best setup and payoff.
It did have the best setup and payoff.
That one was tied for a completely silly one, which was when they go to Terry's prison and the guy opens the door and says, "Welcome to Fantasy Island. My name is Armin Kahl, and I'll be your guide."
Yeah.
I was like, all right, this
fine.
Is a silly movie.
Line.
Here we go. All right, I'm ready. Here
that
we go.
The line.
Who wants to go next?
Go ahead.
All right. Today's so the only other one that I had, which... not necessarily favorite, but one of the most ridiculous lines to me was the when it's Terry and Laura, And Terry's like, you can break my wrist, but I'm still going to kiss you.
That was a controller chest moment. A lot of the dialogue was just like, that was get the hell out of here.
That was real rough. Like, to the point where, like, I want to set up a control. Like, we should go out and try and use that line and see, like, how people just see what happens. Like, it's ridiculous.
I've got over 150 hours in flight simulators models. I would say no too. I would say no too.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say no too.
I've got two. I've got Laura saying, right post wrist breaking moment, and she's saying that she's leaving. She locks him to the bed or whatever, and she says, "I'm not leaving you because I couldn't kill you.
Oh.
I'm leaving because I could." And again, best / worst. I also really like the exchange with Chen Lo, where she says, she looks him in the face and says, "Take the offer before it expires," and he goes, "No." She responds with, "Then I will have to force you." And he responds with my favorite line, "Then I will have to kill you." Right?
Oh, that.
All right.
That was the thing that I was trying to grab for in the plot discussion. The part with the Chinese family, where she's just like, "Can I hijack your satellite feed?" And just like, "Let me borrow your bubblegum, little girl." And they're just like, "Whatever, what's going on? I don't want it."
Awesome.
This is
better
than and that was silly and stupid as all hell. And then it got great when Jerry showed up at the same people's house and went, "Oh, this is the right place." It's like, okay, that's pretty funny. There are a couple of parts where it totally worked out. So now we're going to recast the movie. This is something that I stole 100% from Action Movie Anatomy, which you can follow on Twitter at AMA Podcast. So we've got some ideas. Let's start. Does anybody else wanna go? We're recasting Laura, Terry, and Jonathan, the villain.
Okay.
All right.
Anybody?
Who do you want to start with?
Alexis in the booth says Emily Blunt for Laura.
I could not agree more with Alexis.
I really like that choice.
I've got it written down.
But if we're going,
not just cribbing her answer.
But if we're going younger, if we're going for this new Lara Croft series, we got to go a little bit younger.
Camille Luddington from the games.
And I know
from
Camille
Grey's Anatomy.
Camille Luddington,
so good.
I put down Alicia Vikander.
Explain to me who that is.
She is from Ex Machina and Man from U.N.C.L.E.
My God.
That's a great
call.
She's not British. She is Swedish, but she can pull off that British accent awesome.
I'm on board. That's good casting.
She would have to gain some weight, though, because she is a stick. But I think she's up and coming and can really make it work.
It's interesting.
Okay. I thought that Katie Cassidy would be an interesting fit for the new Lara Croft.
I do like
Katie
that.
Katie Cassidy? Who's she?
Right now she's on Arrow. She's Laurel Lance.
Okay. Yep. I wouldn't have even thought, but now that you say it and I place her in that Arrow universe, I can see that a little bit.
Yeah, because the bow's around.
Yeah.
Is that why? Is because the bow's around? Amelia Clark, also from Alexis in the Booth.
Alexis is good at this.
Let's go to Terry. I kind of have an idea where there is a new Gerard Butler in town.
Oh, is there?
And pretty. I mean, he's got the same body type. He's just from a different country. What is Tom Hardy?
I almost chose Tom Hardy.
I would also want him as my backup in the phone book movie.
Chris Hemsworth?
No.
Liam Hemsworth?
So I think also attractive men. I think for this role, again, he was my favorite part of this movie. I really want to see Oscar Isaac, also from Ex Machina. He's a charming son of a bitch.
I feel
like he would have a great chemistry with people. And he's one of the more talented guys on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar Isaac, for me, would be like the perfect casting man.
I like that.
Tom Hardy's not bad.
Tom Hardy's a good one.
Thank you.
So good.
I liked Travis Fimmel from Vikings.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. Yes,
Vikings.
He's good. He's good.
I can see that.
I think he had that kind of rough Devil May Care attitude.
Yeah, and I like how, for the most part, we're all going foreign.
Oscar's just like Han Solo to me a little bit. Well, right? Like he's like, and he's in Star Wars.
That's why,
like, yeah, man. It's gonna be awesome.
We get that little bit of a flair from around the world. I like it. And finally, our villain, Mr. Jonathan Rhys, played by Ciaran Hinds.
Yes,
Idris Elba from Alexis in the Booth.
Dude, could you just come in, Alexis? Because I feel like killing it.
We'll try to have you in next time.
Killing it.
I put down Alan Rickman.
God, arguably the best villain of all time. We talking Hans Gruber?
Hans Gruber.
Hans Gruber. Now I have a machine gun.
We'll agree on that.
Dude, that guy could be the villain in every movie.
I have just given you Ebola. Here is the cure.
Well, not now.
He won't be joining us for the rest of his life.
This is Pandora's box.
Oh, I'm on board.
I will make it into the deadliest disease of all.
I went a little bit younger, so I wanted charming but scary. So I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
The comedian from The Watchmen, recently cast on Walking Dead. That guy's a charming son of a bitch. And I kind of wanted the... I wanted that Joker crazy, and that guy does that well, but violent. I think he can play smart.
Right.
I also, I don't know, you guys watching Fargo? You guys familiar?
I'm not watching Fargo.
Patrick Wilson. So be a younger, more buttoned up suit type scientist. Wilson. He's the main cop in that. He's also in Watchmen. He's Owlboy in Watchmen.
But
imagine him in this movie, very buttoned up, you know, suited up scientist guy. So he's really charming. So he's got to be, he's more on the, I'm going to scare you with my intellect than like just pure physical prowess. But he also, especially in Fargo, like he doesn't, threatened with violence, he doesn't blink, right? Like, and so I don't know. I'm a big Patrick Wilson fan.
Well, that gave me a whole new idea right now.
Me too.
Made me think of Andrew Scott.
I like him.
Who is Moriarty and Sherlock, and I think he has that kind of terrifying intellect
for him. Him and Alan Rickman in every movie.
But that also gave me Hiddleston.
I'm suffering Hiddleston fatigue right now.
I can agree with that.
I love that guy.
But also, Crimson Peak was everywhere. All of that advertising was just like, I don't care about the movie, I just want the ads to stop.
I just want Moriarty now. That's all Can he play Lara,
that was
too?
Awesome.
Let's just regenerate this whole thing.
Fine, let's redo it. Benedict is Laura.
Yes.
Martin is Terry.
Jeez.
let's just recast the whole thing.
Dame Judi Dench is the villain, because I want more Dame Judi Dench.
Can we just have
the new next year's Christmas special be a Lara Croft thing?
Yes.
Where he's like wearing the short shorts and like the cami.
I'm on board. Yes.
Super down.
Finally looks a little bit like...
Yes!
He's a little bit like Borat, just like running around. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
I want to watch this.
Bless.
These are free ideas, Hollywood. Free. This is free.
No, we're keeping Jerry in the phone book. We're keeping that.
Okay.
That's ours.
If you're watching this, please animate this.
PTMTM.
Pay big money to see this.
Final thoughts about Lara Croft Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life.
I'm excited with the direction that they're going with the games, and I'm excited about the remake. The guy that was tied to the Huntsman 2000, whatever.
Snow White and the Huntsman.
Yep. So I'm hoping, I've got high hopes, right? I think because there's a lot of potential there. It's a rich kind of backstory, a lot to draw from, and if we can recontextualize it and have her be awesome and a three-dimensional, well-fleshed-out human being, I'm super on board.
Yes.
Yep.
In a completely different way. I had so many problems with this movie as far as like how they used mythology and ignored it when they wanted to, but then brought it back in. That was probably the biggest thing. It was overall, the acting was not terrible, but everything around it was, so it was still subpar.
This movie, like, there's keep your counts at home. There's going to be a supercut one day of all the times where I say this movie.
I would love it.
I don't this movie, for most video game movies that we do, I'm like, if it was on TNT on a Sunday, I'd watch it.
I know you do.
I would not watch this movie on TNT on a Sunday.
It's not even
play
a
the game.
They
watch
got
exa- bad movies.
Yeah, I would just play
waste time.
No, I wouldn't even watch the riff tracks of this. And they're damn entertaining. Their writers are fantastic. Just play the game.
Play Rise.
Tomb Raider, and even just the original Tomb Raider, you could probably get for $20 at GameStop if you haven't played it, and then you get Rise of the Tomb Raider, you are set. Our final thing, really quick. Game over or extra life for the Tomb Raider franchise. Stacey.
For the franchise as a whole, I would love to see more movies.
Mm-hmm.
For that particular line of movies, definitely game over. But extra life for Tomb Raider.
Yes, Tomb Raider in general.
For Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm with Alexis and you. Extra life, 100%. There's a lot of potential there.
And Microsoft is really kind of pushing their weight around when it comes to using their studio and creating their own content. So I see it within the next 5 years. We'll probably see something, maybe a short, maybe something exclusively through Xbox.
We need more ass-kicking women in movies. So
yes, we do. 100%. That is a resounding extra life. We got one from Alexis as well.
Yeah,
So everybody on the panel, put yourself over. Actually, before we do that, want to make a quick announcement. We'll be back in 2 weeks for another episode of Video Game Movie Anatomy. And because Patrick hasn't seen it and we want to confuse the living daylights out of him, we have decided on Pokemon the First Movie. So make sure you watch Pokemon the First Movie and join us live in 2 weeks on Monday at 6 p.m. our regular time. But until then, before trying to catch them all, where can the folks find you on Twitter, social media, some projects?
Go ahead, please.
All right, well, come find me at Nerds Doing Stuff. We're up to a lot more stuff now that I'm not planning a wedding anymore.
Seriously.
Congratulations. It was the long drive.
You can find me on iTunes. I host a video game podcast called Pixel by Pixel. It's a video game and all kinds of nonsense. Dialogue.
It's perfect. Dialogue. Social media plug. You can follow me on Twitter at SoapboxMark. Also, follow the other podcast that I do here, Jedi Alliance, Jedi_Alliance. We do with Star Wars. Who knew? If you want to, with Battlefront's coming out, we're covering Battlefront next week. If you want to play it for the show, follow me on Twitter, and I might get some footage playing next week. So, thank you for joining us on this episode of Video Game Movie Anatomy. To be continued.
Thanks, Alexis.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.